Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the worship time that we have had. I just pray that, God, you would use Brad in a mighty way for your glory so that we can be convicted of what you would desire us to be about here at Mount Pleasant. Lord, I thank you for his willingness to come and be away from his church on a Sunday to come and speak the word to us. So, Lord, we are extremely thankful and grateful for that. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. It has been an honor this weekend to be here. When I became a lead pastor of a church, I thought I was done with student ministry. Not so much. So I thought I could get away from it and escape from it. I did it for 15 years. And you know what? Once you start, you begin to realize there's so much life there. There's so much joy there. And there's so much hope and future right there. So, hey, I want to just... make sure you guys know how great these guys are, because first of all, they were locked in and actually listening, and I don't even get that from my own church, so I was really encouraged by that. The fact I got questions about things I said that came back, and that just meant that they were listening to everything that was being said. I want to thank the guys who are leading music. David did a great job this weekend, and just really fantastic. And I've already enjoyed myself. I've already enjoyed being with the 9:30 service, and was encouraged by them as well, and their willingness to listen and to worship together. They did the fist bump too. I'm not comparing. I think you guys were first place, but I'm just saying they were better than you guys the first time you heard the song. So, it was pretty fantastic. So, so it has been a great weekend. I'm pastor of Old Powhatan Baptist Church. It's old, it's in Powhatan, and it's a Baptist church. I've been around since 1771, and so we're established. We've just grew out of our church planting stage, and so really good things going on there. And so I'm excited to be here. I am missing them today. I do love the people there. But Pastor Roger, I'm sure, is doing a great job preaching today. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. This weekend, the theme is Unleashed. And the picture that's behind the logo Unleashed is of a lion. And I want to remind you today that our God does not need to be unleashed. We're not talking about unleashing God and his power. We're talking about the people of God being unleashed. The Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit is going to do. God is going to do what God wants to do. There is no one who can hinder God. He is mightier than any lion, and nothing can stop him from accomplishing what he aims to accomplish, including us. And man, we try really hard sometimes, don't we? Well, we have our own preferences, we have our own thoughts, we have our own ideas, we have our own programs and strategies, and I want you to know that you can never out-strategize God. And so as you look at your church and you look at the community around you, you look at the nations and the need for the gospel, God has a strategy for reaching every single person with the gospel. And his strategy is sitting in this room. It's the body of Christ. We have been created by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we would be plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and so on, for God to reach our communities and our nations with the gospel. This weekend we talked about what it is to be unleashed from something, what it is to be set free. And I'm going to ask you guys to help me out, okay? If you're set free from something, God sets you free to something. He never leaves you in the middle. If he sets you free from sin, he sets you free to joy. If he sets you free from fear, he sets you free to love. They listened. Seven of them did, at least. So that was good. When we're set free from something, he sets us free to something. We talked about being set free from sin. Not just the sins that we know, because we could go to Galatians 5 and read a whole list of those sins, right? You can find passages of Scripture where we can just read the list and we all know those things are sin. But we also talked about the things that really are sin within the body of Christ as well. And in Galatians 5, that's actually what Paul is talking about, is the religious people. Those of us who know all the answers, that know what's supposed to happen. He talks about us as sinners. That we've been set free from the type of legalism and the type of performance-based following after Christ, that we're supposed to do this and do that and do this and do that, that's based on preferences and our idea of the way things should be. We're set free from that, so not to be enslaved to that anymore. To look to Jesus as the power, as the author, as the finisher of our faith. We also learned what it is to be set free to love. That because we've been set free from sin and set free from that performance that we think we have to give before God, we're set free to love. We're set free from the fear of standing before God because Jesus has already paid it all. Now we're set free to give and to love. See, fear causes us to hold back. We all have things we love, right? We all have things that we love that we want to protect. And yet, because we no longer fear the grave and no longer fear hell, and no longer fear death, no longer fear loss, but instead Jesus has turned all that on its head and death is life for us. Loss is gain for us. That we could give freely and serve one another in love. I wanted to finish off the weekend by talking to the whole church. I want all of us to understand this is not just for your students. But God's plan is for all of you, all of us as the body of Christ, to be a part of unleashing the gospel in our communities and around the world. So here in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 9, if you would. So we're going to look at verse 9 and verse 10. Peter writes this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Who are you? It's a question I asked last night when it comes to loving, because we're told in Galatians 5:13 that the whole law, all of obedience, can be wrapped up in love your neighbor as yourself. And that begs the question of who's your neighbor, right? And if I ask you who your neighbor is, you can name all kinds of people. But let's be honest, when we're asking who our neighbor is, what are we really asking? Who do I not have to love? Right? As soon as you start asking the question, who's my neighbor? What we really want to know is, do I have to love them? I mean, surely not them. And then we read things in Scripture like, love your enemies. What? Now things have just gone off the deep end, right? And then we remember that our Jesus is the one who took enemies and made them his friends. He took those who were far off and he brought them near. He took those of us who were dead and made us alive, right? Jesus took enemies and made them his friends. He was not discriminate in that love. He took us, wayward sinners, and made us children of God. And so we remember that the love we're supposed to have is a love that's far-reaching, a love that's sacrificial, a love that looks like the love of Jesus. But man, that's really hard to do, isn't it? It's really hard to do because, I mean, let's just admit it, we don't like people very much, do we? Right? Like, I cannot imagine, let's just be honest, like, there's lots of space between some of you people. I'm assuming you love each other, but, like, just don't want to sit next to each other, right? There's teenage boys over there who are sitting closer to each other than you guys are. And they probably stink. No, they definitely stink. It's not even a probably. They've been at D-Now weekend. I asked them, how much have you slept? I think they're sitting next to each other so they can lean on each other so they look awake, so that nobody can fall over. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's tough loving people, isn't it? It's really incredibly tough to love people that don't love us back. So how in the world are we going to do that? How in the world are we going to be people who demonstrate this love, who are unleashed on the world? And what are we unleashed to do? I think the answer is right here in the passage, and this is what he says. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. One purpose, that's it. It's not how big can the youth group be. It's not how beautiful a building can we build. It's not what style of music we're going to sing. It's not, are we going to do red carpet, not red carpet, white pews, not white pews. It's not, what mission trip are we going to go on, what mission trip are we not going to go on. Those are not central to what God says the purpose of the people of God really is. Those things are somewhat important at times, I get that. We all have our preferences on those things, but there's one thing that is a non-negotiable for the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, and that is to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. Wear a wrist brace most of the time. Everybody assumes it's carpal tunnel. What it is I was stupid as a teenager. And every once in a while, my wrist will pop back out of joint, and I'll wear this. Right, and it'll help me when I get it back in a joint. It'll help me just kind of solidify it and feels better, and I'll wear it for a while. And I'm wearing it right now because I just realized being around these guys how old I am. Right? It's interesting how I could wake up in the morning and the first sound I make. What's the first sound you make in the morning? Anybody? Exactly. I mean, it's universal, isn't it? It's amazing, right? It's a universal thought. It's that, oh, my word. Oh. All right? And it continues until you get going. And then what's the first sound you make when you're around somebody that you trust? Oh. Isn't it? It's amazing, right? First thing in the morning, the first time. So I'm standing outside, and because I'm new here, and I've never been here, and I'm meeting people, and I can kind of eavesdrop on everybody, right? So this is what I'm hearing. Oh, it's been a rough week. At least 75% of the conversations that I heard start as people walk through. That's what we're proclaiming to each other. What are we proclaiming to everybody else? If what we're proclaiming to one another is frustrations, and I mean, there's a place for that, don't get me wrong, but that's not the purpose of the body of Christ. The purpose, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, is to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. So what would that look like? I'm not going to say aches and pains and sadness and distress are not part of life. They are. But do you realize that if Jesus himself was not holding you together right now, that there'd be no aching and there'd be no pains? That you would not exist. I want you to turn. Who is this one we're talking about? I want you to turn over here to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to recognize who this Jesus is, how excellent he really is. Because when we begin to understand how excellent Jesus is, we're going to have no choice but to talk about him. We're going to have no choice but to proclaim just how excellent he is. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul wants us to know the preeminence of Christ, just how beautiful and excellent and wonderful Jesus is. So when we're talking about proclaiming the excellencies of Christ, this is what he looks like. This is who he is. Colossians chapter 1. Begin with verse 13. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And who is this Son? Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Who is Jesus? God in flesh, King of kings, Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the firstborn from the dead, the Creator God. He holds all things together, including you and me. Now I get it. Being the body of Christ is tough because there's other people here, right? It'd be a lot easier if the body of Christ could just be made up of the people we get along with very easily. It's just not God's design. God's design is to make us into the image of Jesus, and so we have all have different starting points. And so when we talk about proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus, it's not easy to do. And I want to tell you why I think it's not easy for us to do. And students, I want you to understand this. Parents, adults, grandparents, I want you to understand this. I believe one of the greatest mistakes we've made as the body of Christ, as churches, is that we've made proclaiming Jesus something for mission trips. Let me say that again. I believe the greatest disservice we've done to the excellencies of Jesus is that we've made the excellencies of Jesus something to be proclaimed on a mission trip. Mission trips are essential. Both my parents worked for the IMB for decades. I was a missionary kid. Missions is in my DNA. I ask myself at least 3 or 4 times a year, am I even supposed to live in America, much less Powhatan? I mean, where do I need to be? Where am I supposed to be going? I mean, it's in my DNA to ask that question. The bigger question is, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Who are you as the body of Christ? A people on mission? Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I think that's great. Are you people who worship together? I think that's wonderful. I think that's awesome that you do that. Who are we as the body of Christ? Well, we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You see, we're not a people about the next task that needs to be done for Jesus. Because when the gospel and the excellencies of Jesus is just about the next task that needs to be done, the next mission trip we need to go on, the next thing we're supposed to do, it's going to get really tough. It's going to get really tough to keep motivated. You're going to wonder, how are we going to fund that, right? Where is the money going to come to accomplish that? How are we going to get 7 people who can go on this trip? Because that's what we need. Hey, guess what? You are the body of Christ. That's an identity, not a mission. It's an identity, not a task. You have been made into new people together. And if you want to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, it's going to start by realizing that the people who are over there and the people that are over there are being remade into the image of Christ because that's God's design. You want to talk about excellencies? It's these students are being remade into the image of Jesus Christ. And you're supposed to be part of that. No matter how different they are, and no matter how they dress, smell, music that they listen to, if they're followers of Christ, they're being remade into the image of Christ. Students, hear me. See those guys over there? They're followers of Christ. They're being remade into the image of Christ. And you're supposed to be a part of that. And until this church and every other church begins to understand that the glory and the excellencies of Jesus is something to be proclaimed as a body, as a church, as an identity for who we are, we're just going to be going on mission trips and not changing anything. We're going to be having another D now. Next year, probably won't be asked back after this sermon, but there's going to be another D now at some point. Question, How different are you going to be next year? How different is the church going to be next year? How many times are you going to take the opportunity to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus? Where do you start with that? What do you do? What are you talking about? How do we get this done? What does it look like to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus? Start with the fact that once you were not a people, this is what he says in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Start with mercy. Start with the fact that I deserved something so much worse than smelly teenagers. If you begin to realize grace is fantastic, we're saved by grace through faith, but I think grace is such a nebulous idea for some of us that we're getting something that we don't deserve, right? That we're getting something we don't deserve, and we're waiting to kind of find out just how excellent that is. Hey, I want to give you some good news. You also got mercy. And mercy is not getting what you actually deserve. That's what you're walking in right now, just so you know. The fact of the matter is, a lot of us need to understand and will be changed when we begin to understand the mercy of God, that he would allow us to do this when we don't deserve any of it. In fact, we all deserve to be puddles before a holy God. So we're not getting what we deserve. When we begin to understand the mercy of God, we're going to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. What did we learn from Colossians 1? Jesus is the one who holds all things together, including you and me. This building, the fakely lit stained glass windows, right? You guys know they're fakely lit, right? I learned that today. I was sitting here and they came on and said, this a cue for the Holy Spirit, or is it just like we were a little confused by that. We weren't sure what was happening, but we got excited, and then nothing really changed. But whatever. Every stone, every brick, every piece of glass is held together not by mortar, not by glue, not by but by the very word of Jesus Christ. Every bone, every muscle. Every molecule, every atom in your body held together by the very word of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little tip. When you complain, when I complain, you know what we're doing? Thumbing our nose at Jesus. That's why he tells us not to complain. It's not because it just makes us look bad, it makes him look bad. As the people of God, we can proclaim the excellencies of Jesus in the middle of pain. I'm going to tell you an illustration, and I didn't share this in the 9:30 service, but I trust you guys more. No, I'm just kidding. I want you guys to hear this. 3 years ago, I lost both my parents. And In February, my mom passed on a Sunday morning while I was preaching. I had seen her Saturday night and told her, I'll see you in glory because I'll be preaching tomorrow. And I went to church the next morning. I preached first service, and I got the phone call during the Sunday school hour in between services. And 7 weeks later, as I drove to the church for Good Friday service, my sister called me and I talked to my dad for the last time, this side of heaven. I don't understand 3 years later why that happened. But for the first time in 3 years, I'm okay with not understanding. And I can rejoice in Jesus, who is greater than either of my parents. You know, my dad was one of the most interesting people. He must have had the highest pain threshold of any person ever. He's a guy who was in pain for the last 25 years of my life, probably. And he never complained about the real pain. I mean, he had kidneys removed, eye removed, all kinds of things. It was just constant pain with him. And yet he was really interesting because if he stubbed his toe, you would think that like his toe had fallen off. But the fact of the matter is when it came to real pain, he never complained. He was the first to smile. My dad had the best smile. He had the best smile. When I think of my dad, I don't think of my dad being sick. I think of my dad smiling. You know what he spent years doing? Traveling the world, making sure people knew the excellencies of Jesus. That's what he did with his life. I was fully convinced my dad would not die in a nursing home and hospice care. I was fully convinced I was just going to get a phone call that he'd been eaten by a crocodile at the Nile River or something. I mean, that's like you trampled by an elephant, you know, something. That's what, I was sure that that's what was going to happen. Most people said towards the end of his life, we had no idea how much he was suffering all the time because he didn't talk about it. He would talk about Jesus. Oh, that I could be that kind of man. To proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. I want you guys as a church, I want this church, because it is important to me, even though I am not your pastor, it is important to me, it is essential for the body of Christ extended beyond this church to get together around the excellencies of Jesus. I don't care what divides people in this church. You are united by Jesus. I do not care what mission you think is most important. Your job is to proclaim Jesus. Start here. Start here. Whatever differences you have, you are one in Jesus. If you can't do it here, you're not going to do it out there. If you can't proclaim the excellencies of Jesus in this building, how are you going to do it in China, in Thailand? I love this hallway with all the flags, but is it just a monument? Is it going to be a monument to the fact that Jesus needs to be proclaimed to the nations? Or are these guys in 3-4 years or even this year going to have a model from the rest of you that Jesus must be proclaimed or we are failing as a church? See, I can say these things because I'm going home to my church, but I say the same thing to them almost every week. Because I want you to understand, we've been around for a long time as a church. So the whole age difference thing, I get it. The whole style difference thing, I get it. I really do. I get it. But don't think you're any better than the rest of them, and I'll tell them the same thing. Because if differences are what are driving you, you'll be driven apart. Trying to protect something that you value, if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to have to go out there and make sure they know of the Jesus you know. And just how excellent he is. Start here, start here. Start with somebody today that you know there's tension there and proclaim the excellencies of Jesus to each other. Students, go to the oldest person you can find today and proclaim just how great Jesus is and how you've experienced that this weekend. Grandparent, great-grandparent, go find one of these young people with the pants too low and their loud music and tell them just how great Jesus is. My best friend in my church is 86 years old. And I want you guys to have unity around Jesus. If you want to be unleashed on the world as the body of Christ, you have one purpose, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not your preferences, not your thoughts, but Jesus. It may be that today you're here and you just don't know how excellent Jesus is. Let me tell you how excellent he is. He is God in flesh who came, and everything that you could never do in obedience to God, Jesus did it perfectly. And then he took all of your disobedience and all of your self-righteousness upon himself, and he hung on a cross and died there. Nobody took his life from him. He gave it freely. Nobody could take his life from him. He gave himself for you and for me. And 3 days later, God stamped approval on that sacrifice when Jesus rose from the dead. And now, looming over all of us who are in Christ Jesus is an empty cross and an empty grave that says it has been finished. And if you are outside of that, then you're looking at it and you're still trying to prove it to God that you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And he's saying, stop, stop, stop. I've already done it. So trust him. Call on the name of Jesus today to turn you from your self-righteous acts and your unrighteous acts so that you can be one with him. You know, the world looks at the way things work, and they look at the world in a very different way than we do. I want you to see this as I close. What are we proclaiming? We're proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus, the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the world looks at the way things work, and they see light turning into darkness. They see that life ends at death. And the good news for us is what? Once we die, it's real life, right? That the light that we're experiencing even now in the glory of Jesus is nothing compared to what we're going to experience when we see him face to face. You have a living hope, and his name is Jesus. So if you are a believer today, find somebody before you leave. Proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. And then come before the Lord today and say, who outside of these walls, how far do I need to go, or how near is this person that I must proclaim the excellencies of Jesus to? Not because it's a mission that we're on, not because it's a task we need to do, but because I belong to Jesus. We are a possession of God. Who do you belong to? Jesus. Say it. Who do you belong to?
Jesus.
Jesus. Stop acting like you belong to yourself. And let's proclaim his excellencies and not our own. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we come to this time of commitment, Lord, that you would do the work. It's not my words, but your spirit, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus into our hearts so that we might be transformed. Draw people to the knowledge of Jesus. Draw people to new life. Draw people out of darkness into light. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have a time of response now, and Pastor Joe's going to be up here, and we're going to have this time. I want you guys to really think about this. Do we just have some music that we can play in the background? Are you going to come up, David? I'm doing that. David's going to come up and he's going to sing quietly. We're going to have this time of response. Pastor Joe's going to be here. I'll be here at the front. I know you have other people that you might want to talk to. It may just be that during this time you need to come up and pray, or it may be that you need to go across this building today. Just walk up to somebody. Maybe that you don't even know, or maybe that you've known for a really long time, and make sure they know the excellencies of Jesus. Take the opportunity to do that now.
Your love is relentless, and your grace, it is endless. You are with me, and you are for me, and your kindness is overwhelming. and your promises never changing. You are with me, and you are for me, relentless. Your love is relentless, and we come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name. Lord, we come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name. We are your people and we come before your throne. We come to worship you alone. We come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name. We come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name. We are your people and we come before your throne. We come to worship you alone. We come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name. We come to glorify, glorify, glorify your name.
We're thankful for what God is doing among us right now. We are thankful for what God has done this weekend. As we continue to respond, what I'm going to ask us to do is to stand. And I'm going to ask David to lead us one more time in that song, Relentless. And I want us to just sing this out. And let's not just sing this, but let's think about the words that are coming out of our mouths. And think about what God would desire for us as people of God, but also as people of Mount Pleasant.
And Lord, you know my heart, and you see my every thought. Still you cover me. Still you cover me. And in the depths of all my sin, when I rise and fall again, you are holding me. You are holding me, and you never let me go. So I'll never walk alone, 'cause your love is relentless, and your grace, it is endless. You are with me, and you are for me, relentless. You're creator of all things, and your mighty works displayed. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. So how can it be true? You love me like you do. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. How you never let me go. So I'll never walk alone. Your love is relentless, and your grace, it is endless. You are with me, and you are for me, and your kindness, and your kindness is overwhelming. And your promises never changing. You are with me, and you are for me. And even the grave could not stop your love. You conquered death and you rose victorious. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can keep us apart. No, no, nothing can keep us apart. And even the grave could not stop your love. You conquered death and you rose victorious. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can keep us apart. No, no, nothing can keep us apart. Voices only. Sing your love. Your grace. Your grace. It is endless. You are for me. You are for me. And your kindness is overwhelming. Sing that to Jesus. And your promises never changing. You are with me. And you are for me. Relentless.
Amen. 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 If you are thankful for both Brad and David Glenn and the band, would you let them know right now? David's going to be at his table, so if you want to chat with him, check out his CDs, check out his T-shirts, all of it's really, really good stuff. Just the lyrics of the songs that he has written obviously have been inspired by God. It's directly from Scripture, so we're thankful for that. I'm going to ask Brad, if you wouldn't mind, go out those doors. He'll be out here to... If you would like to meet him or talk to him about anything, maybe there's something that he said that you have a question on. He would love to stay here till like 10 o'clock at night answering all those questions. All right. No.